Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic View Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zoom, and you can also visit our website, which is www.theorganicview.com. If you have any questions or would like to connect with us, you can simply post your question on our wall on Facebook, send us a tweet to @TheOrganicView, or contact me directly at June Stoyer on Twitter. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@TheOrganicView.com. Today's show is sponsored by Eden Foods, one of the most trusted names in certified organic clean foods. Listeners of the Organic View Radio Show can receive 20% off any regularly priced items, excluding cases. Simply enter the coupon code ORGVIEW when prompted during checkout. That's ORGVIEW. For more special offers, please visit our website at www.theorganicview.com. On today's show, animal advocate, animal communicator, and best-selling author, Mr. J.H. Soder, will be my guest to talk about the dolphin crisis and what we can do to help. So I'd like to welcome back to the show, J.H. Soder. Good afternoon, John, and welcome back.
Hi, June. It's always a pleasure to speak and just at length about all the different issues that are going on. It's great to be here.
Always great to have you on the show, John. John, for our listeners who are not familiar with your work, could you tell our audience a little bit about yourself?
Sure. At the age of two, I started having the became aware of the ability of that I had the ability to communicate with animals, and I'd had that all my entire life. And it wasn't until about 5 years ago that people kept telling me that, well, you need to write a book. And I wrote a book called True Tales about all of my experiences that include whales and dolphins and creatures all large and small. And it was really great because it opened a lot of people up to the reality that animals do communicate, but they just don't communicate the way that, like talking about the Dodgers, or in this case, the New York Yankees, since you're in New York.
Now, with animal communications, if you could just elaborate a little bit, because I think Hollywood has done such a magnificent job of distorting what the reality truly is.
Well, yes. What they normally do is they have their lip-syncing actors to the movements of animals' mouths, like they talk that way, and animals don't really talk that way. Basically, they're conceptual. They deal with thoughts. So when you, for example, think about, I'm going to take you outside, they don't hear that, but they get the concept, the idea, the thought that they're going to go outside. And a lot of times that's why, for those listeners out there, when they kind of look at their animal or their cat and they just have this thought that the animal runs to the door, you know, their little friend runs to the door, and they go, wow, he picked that up. Well, that's what's happening. It's a concept. It's not necessarily a string of words, because number one, they haven't been taught English grammar or language and verbs and adverbs and metaphors. They just get the concept, and that's how it really works.
Thank you. Can you talk about your work with the whale people, and what exactly do they do?
Well, I actually started the whale people about 4 years ago, and basically what it is that since of my unique experiences with whales and dolphins over my life, that I decided, and because of the things that were going on with the humpback whales and the fact that they've been hunted by the Japanese, and also with the dolphins, specifically the stuff that's going on in Taiji, Japan, that I really took it to heart and decided I needed to put together a blog about all the different things about the atrocities, at the same time working to educate people about the fact that these are sentient beings. They're quite sentient. And for example, most recently, the slaughter of dolphins in Taiji, they have the shepherds from the Sea Shepherds organization. They had the divers that were there, and there was a dolphin that had a white albino baby, which is very rare, and the baby was taken from her, and then as a result, she drowned herself, and she went down under the water and just drowned herself because her baby had been taken. Now, why would an animal do that? if they didn't have that type of awareness or consciousness, they would just kind of keep going like a normal, you might say, fish in the sea. But they're very, very sentient. And that's the thing that is the worst part about it, is that they have feelings, they have their own communication, they have their own lifestyle, but they are sentient beings.
Now let's talk about the situation in Japan. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things that are floating around the internet. Could you share some of the truths that people really should know about this slaughter?
Yes, of course. I think one of the big things is that the Japanese constantly refer to the fact that this is a tradition. Well, it's not really a tradition. The truth is that the tradition, if we're going to put that in quotes, it's only like one generation, and that's not traditional. Basically, they, as soon as the motorboat engine was developed and used, normally Japanese would go out in boats and canoes, and that's how they would do whaling. But with the advent of the motorboat engine, they could go out and kill hundreds of dolphins at a time. And so in terms of a tradition, that's just a bunch of what we would call PR, or some people just say baloney, rhetoric, you might say, because the truth is that even if it were a tradition, it could change. Rickle Berry, for example, when he visited the Solomon Islands, where the natives actually hunt dolphins and use their teeth for currency, after living with them for several months and educating them about dolphin conservation, that they actually changed their practices and no longer use those teeth as monetary exchange. So the point is that the culture can change if they so decide. And I think the real point of it is, it's not a bunch of people. There's specific people within the community of Taiji that actually benefit monetarily and make a tremendous amount of money from the profits. And the truth is, it's a handful of people. The rest of the people there actually derive their income from doing other types of fishing. So that's what the problem is. And the other thing is that a lot of people in Japan don't even know what's going on there, because it's so hush-hush and so blocked by the press in Japan.
Unbelievable. In regards to the relationship between dolphins and humans, mm-hmm. can you share a little bit of your knowledge about that relationship with our audience and why dolphins are important to our own species?
Well, I think the point really that needs to be made is that when we talk about, when you look at certain things called natural resources, a resource, we as a human species, we look at things as a resource. And the interesting thing in terms of a resource, there's no word in there that says replace. And we take a lot from the environment, but we don't do things to replace it. And we also separate ourselves from the animal kingdom, thinking that somehow, if no matter what we do with the kingdom itself, we're going to keep going, when this planet is based on a, you might say, an invisible chain of survival that affects all of us. And with regard to the dolphin population, there's so many records, it's unbelievable, of dolphins working with human beings, saving them, bringing them back to shore after shipwrecks. And there's a wonderful thing, a place called Forbidden Knowledge TV. They have a video of these divers trying to pull a hook out of a ray, and they couldn't get it, and a dolphin all of a sudden appears and actually right there helps them remove the hook from, and this is all done underwater, and the dolphin picked this up, came over and helped, and it's amazing. I mean, the point is that they are there. They're the shepherds of the sea, and we kind of, you might say, as humans, we've lost that ability or that recognized need to have a balance. And I think that's the biggest problem, is that the human race has so much separated itself, thinking that we're the only thing that's the best thing since sliced bread on this planet. And it, unfortunately, we're destroying it.
Isn't it true that our existence depends upon the health of marine life?
Oh, absolutely. And you look at what's happening with unfortunately, again, it's all blocked out, especially in Japan. all the things that are going on since the Fukushima incident. The water temperature as a result of the pollution and things like this has actually forced all the fishing of Japan to go to other places like Antarctica, where the sea shepherd is actually battling them because they've pretty much fished out the waters. And besides that, I was just, for example, in Ventura, California, recently walking along the beach, and I used to do a lot of walking there. I've been traveling a bit, and I had my dog out with me, Shakita, and we were walking along the shore at a place called Silver Strand, and the amount of dead crabs washed up on the shore. Well, where'd that come from? What wasn't? And they were all different sizes and shapes. Normally, there's a lot of sand dollars on the beach. It was devoid of life, and these shores are right there. Several thousand miles away, you have Fukushima. So here we are pouring radiation in the water, which is killing all different types of marine and plant life. And everybody's kind of ignoring it. When I say everybody, you might say the Japanese government, even our government is pretty much not really they're basically ignoring it. And the result is that people are getting sick, animals are dying. And we just it is affecting all marine life as we know it. I mean, look at what's happening with tuna, for example. They're finding, and in fact, all animals, much higher radiation mercury account in fish, and it's becoming not safe to eat seafood.
John, how can people get involved and do more? There's been such an outpour from the public, especially on social media. People want to do something. Some people are concerned because they feel that, well, you know, this is going to happen year after year. What can we really do to change this? Mm-hmm.
Well, there are a lot of sites. I mean, the Whale People, I'm actually going to be updating my site this week in terms of places where people can go. But to name a few, there are places like Care to Causes, which is great. There's also another place that's called Riot, R-Y-O-T. That's, again, a place that where people can gather and actually do petitions. And depending on where you're listening from, the readers, because I know that you have an international following, every single country, if you actually Google it, you'll actually find some very, very large sites that actually put petitions to their own governments to have an outcry. And I think that, again, several people have asked me this, and so I actually said, well, okay, I'm going to actually put up a list of links that where people can go. I'll be doing that. Been working on this particular blog for my blog site on thewhalepeople.com of where people can go to make a difference and actually speak out. The other thing is that, you know, the other point is that you have to recognize that places like SeaWorld or similar type organizations that harbor whales and dolphins and things like this, there are ways that you can actually protest against them and actually educate. It's just really a point of education.
Thank you. And folks, there will also be a link on theorganicview.com, which will have a number of places where you can get involved, including the petitions, as well as a link to John's site. John, thank you so much for your time and for sharing your knowledge. By all means, folks, please support John's efforts as well as the other organizations that are out there.
Great, June, and thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. And folks, thank you for tuning in. This has been June Stoyer with the Organic View Radio Show. Have a great afternoon, everyone.